Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 84 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Cody Robinson.
I think there's a huge market there for tourism, and I think we're going to miss a huge opportunity if we don't.
Community leaders are considering a joint venture for Moorhead and Rowan County tourism.
Kentucky's Secretary of State is expecting low voter turnout for next week's primary.
But officials in Rowan County think they'll have a much higher turnout locally.
A cannabis-based business is facing some difficulties with credit card vendors.
A deadly parasite has affected several people in southern Ohio.
In sports, Rowan County softball faces their final regular season game tonight in Olive Hill.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
A 10% chance of showers tonight with a low around 61 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Community leaders in Rowan County are considering a new tourism venture. During its regular meeting on Monday night, Moorhead City Council decided to begin drafting ordinances that will include the county in the Tourism Commission. That's an entity currently overseen by the city. The joint venture would allow promotion of events and attractions outside city limits, like Cave Run Lake, and new industry in the Farmers and Sharkey communities. Judge Executive Harry Clark addressed City Council about the proposal on Monday.
Anything we do in the county certainly benefits the city. Anything we do in the city benefits the county. And I think this is an opportunity that we've missed. There's some revenue to be seen from this, from hotels. The county would not be allowed to tax restaurant tax, but we would be allowed to tax hotels, Airbnbs, those kind of things.
The proposal is on the agenda for Tuesday's regular fiscal court meeting.
Kentucky's chief election official is projecting about 12.5% of the state's registered voters will turn out for next week's primary election. Secretary of State Allison Lindergan Grimes said Thursday it appears turnout next Tuesday will be consistent with past primary elections, based partly on current absentee voting patterns. Grimes says it's not okay for such a small portion of Kentuckians to vote, and she says she hopes more Kentuckians go to the polls to prove her prediction wrong. Kentuckians will be selecting nominees for governor and other statewide constitutional offices next week. Grimes tracks absentee ballot totals as an indicator of Election Day turnout. Based on current statistics, Grimes projects next week's turnout will be on the range of the 2015 primary election, where nearly 12.6% of Kentuckians voted.
Election officials in Rowan County are also gearing up for the May primary on Tuesday. State officials are predicting less than 13% of voters will go to the polls, but local officials think it will be higher in Rowan since Democratic candidate for Governor Rocky Adkins calls Moorhead home. County Clerk Elwood Cottle Jr. says voters will see some new technology when they go to the polls on Tuesday.
You'll just sign in with your driver's license if you haven't. There's these things called MiFis that AT&T provided that is secure network. So if we scan your, with like an app, iPad, the clerk will scan your driver's license. It pulls up your name, your address, and your precinct. All you do is sign it with a stylus, and the clerk will check you in, and then you go vote.
Cottle says a sample ballot for Rowan County can be found on his Twitter and Instagram pages.
A well-funded group backing Adam Edelin shook up Kentucky's Democratic gubernatorial primary on Thursday, running a short-lived TV ad denouncing rival Andy Beshear's private legal work for the Boy Scouts of America and a sexual abuse case years ago. Edelin's campaign said the ad, quote, crosses the line and should be taken off the air. The super PAC running the ad soon announced it would be doing so. The ad sparked a fiery exchange between Beshear and Edelin during a debate Thursday night. Beshear slammed it as one of the most disgusting ads in Kentucky history and tried to link Edelin to it, noting the super PAC is bankrolled mostly by the mother-in-law of Edelin's running mate. Edelin shot back by trying to connect Beshear to campaign cash from the manufacturer of the powerful painkiller OxyContin. Beshear has long been considered the front-runner in the Democratic race despite an enormous amount of money being spent on Edelin's behalf. Another prominent Democrat in the race is longtime state lawmaker Rodkey Adkins. Also running is frequent candidate Geoff Young. On the Republican side, Governor Matt Bevin has three challengers in his quest for a second term.
With less than a week to go until the primary, Kentucky's Democratic candidates for governor met again for a public debate Wednesday night at the University of Kentucky. Andy Beshear, Adam Edelin, Rocky Adkins, and Jeff Young answered questions on a variety of topics, including pension reform. Edelin says he wants to change the makeup of Kentucky's pension oversight boards.
The issue in our teachers' retirement system is a lack of funding. On the Kentucky retirement system, we've got a different set of issues, certainly impacted by chronic underfunding, certainly a victim of the Great Recession. But beyond that, for too long, this board has been populated by good old boy appointees from the governor who lack the stature and the credibility to effectively manage these organizations.
Adkins says current reforms are working and need to be left in place while Young and Beshear both proposed different plans to raise new revenue to bolster the pension system. Voters will choose a Democratic nominee on Tuesday.
Democratic gubernatorial candidate Rocky Adkins will host a Rock the Bluegrass rally this weekend at Boyd County High School. The Daily Independent reports the rally is open to the community and will take place from 7 to 8:30 p.m. on Sunday. The event will feature bluegrass music performed by Don Rigsby, Johnny Lewis, and the True Grass Band, as well as fireworks and food. The State House Minority Leader said he will be spending the last few days of his campaign traveling through communities in eastern Kentucky to rally citizens to go out and vote in Tuesday's primary election. Adkins said he will also talk about creating the kind of jobs that Kentuckians need, bringing hope back into the local region, providing free education at community and technical colleges, and the bad agenda that Governor Matt Bevin has implemented that Adkins said has hurt public education and working families. The primary election is Tuesday, May 21st.
The Kentucky Career Center hosted a job fair on Wednesday. The event was for Hurley Electrical Contracting, which is looking to fill 20 positions with hardworking locals from the Commonwealth. Project manager Jesse Hurley tells WYMT the company is giving Kentuckians an opportunity to fill the positions first.
The companies that hire us, they're filling these positions. There's work out there that they're putting out. We're getting a lot of it. If we don't fill these positions, those jobs are still going to be completed by somebody else in another state, in another region. We're trying to bring as much back to eastern Kentucky as we can.
Hurley is looking for cable linemen and groundmen. Travel is required for the job, but workers can still live at home.
A CBD business in Nicholasville is facing issues with its credit card merchant. WKYT reports Kentucky CBD Pharmacy was operating business as usual until its credit card processor, Evalon, changed service on Wednesday. Many credit card merchants stopped handling transactions with CBD and hemp-related businesses even after the 2018 Farm Bill legalized hemp. Kentucky CBD Pharmacy employee Robert Matheny says even though other businesses have been affected by credit card merchants, his business received no warning prior to the cancellation.
A lot of companies had a good heads up on it. We actually never got a notice, so we was kind of hoping we was flying under the radar. No. No, they shut it down, just like everybody.
Kentucky CBD Pharmacy owners say talks to other credit card merchants are currently underway, but getting credit card transactions up and running again could take months due to the amount of businesses in need of vendors.
We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University, offering a weekly summer camp program for children ages 5 through 12. Open to the community May 20th through August 2nd, an inclusive, fun, and active camp program run by certified counselors. Space is limited. More information by calling Zach Martin at 783-5284 or online at moreheadstate.edu/recreation.
The state's Court of Appeals agreed with Attorney General Beshear's ruling that the University of Kentucky wrongly withheld records and violated the Open Records Act. The case involves the release of records related in an alleged Title IX sexual harassment investigation involving former associate professor of entomology James Harwood. The case started when the Kentucky Colonel, a student-run newspaper, requested records from the University of Kentucky surrounding the investigation. UK denied the request and filed a lawsuit to prevent the release of the records. Beshear intervened in the case in August of 2016. The colonel then received 122 pages of records detailing the investigation from a confidential source within the university. The Court of Appeals decision overturns Fayette Circuit Court's prior ruling. The case will be returned to Fayette Circuit Court for further action.
Residents of southern Ohio are being warned about a deadly intestinal parasite. According to WSAZ, crypto can be contracted through infected cattle and other farm animals. The parasite is spread through human-to-human contact. Catherine Russell and her family were exposed to the illness through a cattle brought by a family member. Russell and her two-year-old son Mason were both sent to Columbus for emergency treatment. Caitlin Dickus is a friend of Russell's. She said after seeing the condition her child was in, she now plans to be extra cautious around farm animals.
The poor baby was just so sick. It just got really bad on him. He just got worse from there. We're definitely going to make sure that we are very careful, you know, when we're ready to buy.
Regional epidemiologist Molly Davis says the parasite spreads quickly, and most reported cases of the illness come from people that forget to wash their hands after dealing with an infected farm animal. There have been 8 reported cases of crypto in southern Ohio.
The Marshall County High School shooting suspect appeared in court today for a hearing to change the venue for his trial. 17-year-old Gabriel Parker faces 2 counts of murder and 14 counts of assault. For the January 2018 school shooting, which took the lives of 2 15-year-olds, Bailey Holt and Preston Cope. WKYT reports Parker's defense team submitted a petition in March asking to move the trial. They cited several pages of social media posts they believe has the potential to create a biased jury. Prosecutors with the Commonwealth said they're seeking life in prison for Parker. A trial date has not yet been set.
Police responded to a call Tuesday morning from Letcher County Middle School that an unnamed student brought what is believed to be meth into the building. One student was taken to the Whitesburg Hospital by ambulance following the situation. Mickey Steins is the Letcher County Sheriff. He tells WYMT all parents should have a conversation with their children about what to do in a situation like the one in Letcher County.
I think the parents need to educate their kids on what meth looks like. Show them pictures. Get online, show them pictures of what meth looks like. Make sure that they understand if another student or another kid has anything in the school system to go to the principal immediately.
School officials cannot comment on the condition of the hospitalized child. Letcher County Police are unable to release any information about the suspected student, but Stein says they will prosecute.
The man accused of killing one person in a shooting at a Lexington bar was set to appear in court for arraignment this afternoon. Police say an altercation back in April between 69-year-old Larry Walters and 68-year-old James Terry led to the shots being fired at Uncle Seven's bar off Clay Mills Road. Stevie Roop, a man who often came in to help out with chores in the bar, was also shot and severely injured. He spent a month in the hospital with injuries after a bullet punctured his liver and lungs. According to LAX 18, Walters was indicted last week on charges of murder, first-degree assault, 4 counts of first-degree wanton endangerment, and first-degree criminal mischief. Walters' attorney told the court that Walters is a veteran who is being treated for a cyst on his brain, diabetes, and several other medical conditions.
Crews are releasing new details on the discovery of Magoffin County toddler Kenneth Howard, who was found outside days after disappearing from his home. Magoffin County Rescue Squad Chief Carter Conley talks to WKYT about the moment he found the toddler.
When you come through the thick terrain that we just went through and you pop up and all you see is a little blonde head with blue eyes that you was expecting not to be alive, and he was alive screaming at you, that's something that hits the heart.
After being dehydrated, Howard is recovering and has moved off IV nutrition back onto solid food. It is unknown exactly when Howard will leave the hospital. Kentucky State Police originally said he was expected to be released Thursday, but the family hasn't said when he will be discharged.
Kentucky is one of 21 states caught in a salmonella outbreak. Health officials say it's linked to contact with backyard poultry. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is reporting that 52 total people have been infected with the outbreak. LAX 18 reports 5 people have been hospitalized, but no deaths have been reported. Research shows 30% of those affected were children younger than 5 years old. The CDC has released a guide on how you can get salmonella from poultry and how to keep yourself safe. For more information, you can visit cdc.gov.
Taking an extended look at your weather forecast for the WMKY listening area. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 61. Tomorrow, sunny with a high near 84 and a 10% chance of rain. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a 20% chance of rain and a low around 65 degrees. Sunday, it'll be sunny with a high near 85 and a 10% chance of rain. Sunday night, a 30% chance of rain, mostly cloudy with a low around 65. And Monday, a 20% chance of showers before 2, partly sunny with a high near 80. Current temperatures in your listening area are 87 degrees in Flemingsburg, 85 degrees in Maysville, 86 degrees in Ashland, 84 degrees in Inez, 87 degrees in Lexington, and 84 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
On our feature segment today, commentator John Modaff marvels at a new freedom people are claiming, but also provides some caution.
Did you catch that story out of the United Kingdom last week about the woman who decided to marry herself? All those off years living together in sin with herself might render Melissa Denton a bad match for this third marriage, seeing as how it was a marriage to herself. But before you go judging, consider that we have no right to tell someone whom to love, and that goes for Melissa. It's true that for now her self-marriage is only symbolic, but actually all wedding ceremonies are symbolic and not legally required, and in some future fairness may rule, and cultural privilege and our rampant monophobia would come down and people will be allowed to legally wed themselves. The freedom will come with challenges, to be sure, and for this we must be prepared. At first, marrying yourself might be considered the least risky of all marriage alternatives, given how much you'd go in knowing about your spouse, but what if it turns out that you'd really rather not spend so much time together? Here are some of the problems that might emerge with this otherwise logical approach for a best-fit marriage. What if you want to vacation separately? What if one of you snores? Who's going to take care of you when you're sick? Or share the driving? Or get the phone when your hands are wet? You won't have to share the remote, but what about when you need to share responsibility? Other downsides might be, you can't blame a messy house on anyone else. If you're of two minds when it comes to pets, who's going to drive to the vet? Voting can be a challenge, especially if you're going to split your vote with your spouse. Voting booths will, of course, need to be fit with appropriate signage and physical modifications to ensure privacy as you and you vote. Given all of these challenges and the very high chance that divorce from such a marriage may be impossible, our governors may wish to caution all self-spouses and encourage them, instead, to live in sin like the rest of us do with ourselves. You will be happier. I've been living with myself uncertified for years, and while we haven't always gotten along, we've always made it through, and we're going to stick together no matter what. I'm John Modaff.
Dr. John Modaff is a professor of speech here at Morehead State University. It's 448 and 82 degrees here on the beautiful campus of MSU. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Cody Robinson, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton studio right here in Breckenridge Hall. We're so glad that you've joined us on this beautiful Friday afternoon. Keneally Roberts has sports right after this timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center, providing a curbside recycling service to residents of Morehead and Rowan County. Residential pickup available every Sunday. Pre-sorting the recycled materials is not required. Accepting number 1 and 2 plastic, cardboard, paper, electronics, metal, and grocery bags. Materials may be placed in any container, placed at curbside for pickup and visible from street. More information by calling 784-1250.
Brown County softball hits the road tonight. For WMKY Sports, I'm Keneally Roberts. The Round County softball team plays their final game of the season tonight and begins postseason play tomorrow. The 23-10 Vikings head to West Carter tonight to close the regular season. Head coach Larry Sloan says they'll host district play tomorrow morning with Menifee.
I think we will try to go in and focus on, you know, being disciplined, swinging the bat, and taking care of our business, what we know we can do, and really not worrying with you know, meant to be. Hopefully we won't get ourselves ahead of ourselves where we're not focusing on Menifee, that we're taking care of that business and then deal with the business at hand Monday.
The winner of Saturday's matchup will go on to face the winner of the Fleming and Bath County game Monday night in Moorhead. The Round County baseball team will face off with Menifee tomorrow in the first round of the 61st District Tournament. The Vikings ended a 33-3 season on Wednesday night with a sweep of East Carter on the road. Head coach Scott Collins says he isn't sure when the Vikings last had such a successful season.
I know the 7 years that I've been part of the program, obviously, it's by far our best year. Last year we were able to get 30 wins, you know, after, you know, tournament included. So, we've already got 33 prior to postseason. So, it's been a really good year. But with the district tournament starting Saturday, we'll start off 0-0.
Menifee and Round will face off in Bath County at noon on Saturday. The winner will advance to the district final on Monday. Taking a look at other regional action taking place this weekend, in baseball tonight, Fleming County heads to Mason County at 5:30, and Rose Hill Christian hosts St. Patrick tonight at 6 in 16th region regular season softball tonight. Boyd County hosts a doubleheader with Mason County tonight. First game is set for 6 p.m., Menifee hosts a doubleheader with Robertson. First pitch in Game 1 is set for 5 p.m. And Bath County hosts Frankfort at 9 p.m. District play begins on Saturday. Fleming and Bath County softball teams square off in the first round of the 61st District Tournament tomorrow at 1 p.m. That game will take place at Round County's Sloan Stadium. The 61st District Baseball Tournament begins at the Bath County Sports Complex. Bath and Fleming square off at 2 p.m. West Carter hosts the 62nd District Tournament. They face Elliott County Saturday at 4 p.m. East Carter and Morgan meet at 6:30. We'll have scores from this weekend Monday on Morning Edition. Moorhead State Baseball winds down its regular season this weekend. The Eagles host the Southeast Missouri Redhawks for a pair of games after taking one of their series 13-9 yesterday. The bats came alive for MSU head coach Mike McGuire and his club. He says the team needed the offensive output.
I thought it was really a big day for us offensively. I thought when they scored the five spot, it was huge for us to answer right back the way we did. And I really like the way we swung the bats. That's the kind of club I thought we could be all year long offensively, and hopefully it's a sign of things to come.
Moorhead State is still battling for a top four seed in the Ohio Valley Conference postseason tournament. Game 2 of their series with SEMO will get underway shortly, with the first pitch scheduled for 5 p.m. After taking 2 of 3 from the NL Central leading Chicago Cubs, the Reds continue their homestand tonight against the visiting Los Angeles Dodgers. The left side of the Cincinnati infield provided a big lift both offensively and defensively against the Cubs. Reds manager David Bell talks about the impact.
The big hits from Gino and Iglesias, too, and Iglesias made another good play tonight, too. So the left side of the infield was a big part of our win tonight. And the last two nights, we played really well to beat a good team.
The Reds are playing their best baseball of the year and sit just 4 games under 500 after a 1-8 start to the season. Cincinnati sends right-hander Anthony DeSclafani to the mound this afternoon, while the Dodgers counter with right-hander Walker Buehler. The game is currently underway at Great American Ballpark. A former Florida State linebacker is transferring to Kentucky. WKYT reports freshman Xavier Peters, a 6'4", 235-pound linebacker, gave Lexington a visit yesterday. Peters is a Westchester, Ohio native and was committed to Kentucky during high school before flipping his commitment to the Seminoles. Peters played only 2 games as a freshman and was ranked as the nation's number 12 outside linebacker. And finally, in sports this afternoon, in July of 2018, 20-year-old Joshua Pascal found out he had melanoma, the most serious form of skin cancer. Pascal is a Kentucky football player and tells WKYT football helped him to find the cancer.
It was just a small spot. It started out probably the size of a small mole, and I really thought it was a blood blister because I knew I didn't get a mole at the bottom of my foot.
Pascal underwent 3 surgeries and immunotherapy to fight the cancer. He also says last season he felt the love and support from not only his teammates, but also the Big Blue Nation. Pascal only has a few treatments left and is determined to use his story to advocate for awareness. And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Keneally Roberts.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Men's basketball will host the Eagle Day Camp, June 10th through the 13th, from 9 a.m. to noon in MSU's Johnson Arena, open to boys and girls in kindergarten through 8th grade. More information from the Eagle Athletic Office at 783-2089 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks slid after it was reported that trade talks between China and the U.S. have stalled, and at the close, the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 98.68, or 0.3% at 25,764. The S&P 500 was down 16.79, or 0.6% at 2859.53, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 81.76, or 1% at 7816.29. And, of course, it was reported that scheduling discussions for further trade talks have been put on hold in terms of trade discussions with China. This since the Trump administration has increased scrutiny of Chinese telecom companies. A U.S. delegation had been invited to Beijing earlier this week. Trade sensitive stocks were weak today and also during the entire trading week for the most part. Apple shares fell almost 1%, bringing its weekly losses to 4.5%. Caterpillar shares were down over 3%. And, of course, earlier in the week, the administration actually made it harder for U.S. companies to do business with Huawei, a giant telecommunications company in China. U.S. firms that want to do business with Huawei must now have a license, and shares of Huawei U.S. suppliers like Qualcomm, Qorvo, and Micron Technology were all down sharply in today's trading. Deere shares fell more than 6% after the company reported weaker-than-expected earnings, and the company cited the ongoing trade war for their disappointing results. In the commodities markets, oil was down 0.25% at $62.70 a barrel. Gold was down 0.625% at $1,277.90 an ounce. In Europe, stocks had a weak day, with the Stoxx 600 index down 0.375%. Stocks were also lower for the most part in Asia, with the Shanghai Composite down 2.5%, and South Korea's Kospi index down 0.6%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were United Health Group and Verizon. The worst performers were Dow and Caterpillar. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Under Armour and Applied Materials, and the worst performers were Deere and Qorvo. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Fifth Third Bank up 4 cents at $27.28, Marathon Petroleum down 92 cents at $51.94, Dollar General up 46 cents at $120.18, UPS down 95 cents at $99.40, and Humana was up 560 to finish at $247.82. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated. Featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop. A community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Taking a look at some events coming up in the region, the Gateway Regional Arts Center in Mount Sterling presents a women's choir concert at 7 p.m. on Saturday. Tickets are priced $10 for adults and $5 for students.
The Community Recycling Center, located near the Moorhead City Park, offers a 24-hour drop-off service for recyclables including cardboard, aluminum, and steel cans, 1- and 2-numbered plastics, books, magazines, newspapers, mixed and shredded paper. The Community Recycling Center is a partnership with the City of Moorhead, Rowan County, and Moorhead State University.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Nacogdoches Miller, Chaz Jenkins, Keneally Roberts, Greg Jenkins, and Paul Hitchcock. Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from commentator Dr. John Modaff. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH9S. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Cody Robinson and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.